speak into this? Is this going to pick me up from this far away, or should I?
No, you can't move it. This is going to be right on there.
Okay. I'm Dave. I'm an addict. I'm glad to be here, and I'm grateful to be in recovery today. I appreciate being given the chance to tell my story, share some experience, strength, and hope. My clean date is February 14th of 2008, and one of the things I want to share is that, part of my process, I didn't get clean the first time I came into NA. The first time I would try to get clean was probably back in 2002 or 2003. And basically I spent 5 years trying to do it my way. And it didn't work. So that's, I feel like an important part of my story to share is because I was one of those people that I knew I was an addict, but I didn't know that I could ever get this thing, you know. I went for so long trying to get clean and failing that I started to think I was maybe one of those people that was constitutionally incapable of getting this program of staying clean. And, so basically, just to tell a little bit about my story, I started using when I was probably 13 or 14. It was the thing to do. It was what we did, the people I hung around. And for a while, it was fun. And I always thought that I had a handle on it and that I was in control. You know, but looking back, once I got into recovery, I was an addict before I ever picked up the drugs, really. You know, I was an addict in my way of thinking. Lost my train of thought. So basically, until I found my drug of choice, that I was under the illusion that I had control, and that I wasn't a drug addict. You know, that drugs were just something that I did, and I was in control of them. They weren't in control of me. And then when I found cocaine, that's when my life started spiraling out of control real fast. And I remember thinking, like, one day, just out of the blue, going, like, realizing I crossed some line, being like, wow, there's no reset button from this point forward. And I think that was, like, the day that I realized I was a drug addict, maybe for the first time consciously. But like I said, I was still a long ways away from getting this thing, figuring out how I could get well and get out of that cycle of addiction. For a long time, I thought that I was going to fix myself. You know, I was actually pretty obsessed with fixing myself because I always thought of myself in that way, like I was the one who had control, even when people around me who were using and drinking and who were out of control, you know, that I could always, like, pull the reins in and put my life back together, that I was going to fix me, you know. And then when things got out of control and, you know, that just it was no longer possible. I thought that, I guess I was looking for that quick fix. Like, I knew that drugs were destroying my life. That was pretty obvious, but I didn't really want to change anything. I just wanted my life to start going down the toilet. And so when I was 22, I found out that I was going to be a dad. And I thought that was it. You know, that was like the thing I was looking for. That magic event or whatever that was going to change me and was going to get me out of this thing. And I remember, I mean, I was so certain of that. And I justified and I rationalized the way we do, you know, all through the pregnancy. And then my son was born and I was still doing drugs. And I was like, what? This isn't right. You know, this isn't, it's not supposed to be this way. Like, I was, this was supposed to be the thing that I became a father, and then I was going to stop all this shit. You know? And, yeah, it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way at all. It actually, my drug use got worse at that point. You know, because suddenly I had a lot more responsibility, I guess, and I was a classic drug addict in the sense that, like, the more responsibility you threw at me, the more I was going to run away from it. And so that was another point when I really, it really became clear that I was a drug addict. You know, it was like, I can't fool myself about this any longer. But I still wasn't willing to change. You know, I wasn't willing to put forth the effort. I'd been to NA by that point, and, you know, I always say, like, it wasn't a matter of ignorance, because the first meeting I ever went to, I was like, somebody told me, like, what we do. You know, I mean, they laid the whole thing out. They're like, all right, well, get a sponsor, do 90-90, you know, get involved with service, find your higher power, like, all that stuff. They told me from the get-go. I just wasn't ready to listen. I was still thinking that I was going to do it my way. And, yeah, my way continued to get me to the same place over and over and over again, and I still... You know, I mean, I don't need to go into all the details because I think my story is pretty much everybody's story, more or less. But, you know, it was just going through that cycle over and over again, thinking this is going to fix me or that's going to fix me. Oh, like, I'm going to get a new job and I'm going to pull my life together. I'm going to move to a new place and I'm going to pull my life together. You know, I'm going to pull my life together for my kid. You know, all of that. And it never worked, and I kept falling on my face. And one of the things that I really couldn't let go of was, like I said, I guess really, like, I knew that I was a drug addict. I knew that a long time ago, but really accepting that, like, in my heart, I don't think I could do for all those years. You know, because I still, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'd say, okay, I'm a drug addict, but I certainly wasn't surrendering to it, because I was still going and saying, well, maybe I can just drink and not do other drugs and I'll be all right, you know? And I'd go and do that, and then it'd be the same results over and over and over again. And it wasn't until I hit, pretty much hit bottom after bottom after bottom, and I just got tired of banging my head into the wall over and over again. That thing started to change. I got, on February 13th of 2008, I got fired from the job I was at. And I remember that day, I went and got high. And then I was sitting in my house and I was like, you know, I'm done. I'm so done with this, you know. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I mean, I'd said that, like, I don't know how many times, like thousands of times. You know, I used to say it every night when I was using. Be like, I'm done, I'm not doing this again. And then the next day, I'd be getting high. But there was just something different about it that time that I was really just done. You know, I just couldn't take it anymore. And that, I think, was like the day that I really admitted that I was a drug addict. Like, I admitted it to myself and believed it, you know? Because I'd heard that. I mean, I'd been hearing the whole thing, like the surrender thing that we talk about, like, for years by that point. But I didn't really internalize it, you know? I mean, I'd tell people that I surrendered, and it's like, oh, yeah, I understand that I'm an addict and, you know, jails, institutions, and death and all that stuff. But I didn't really believe it because I kept taking my own will back and thinking that somehow the outcome was going to be different. You know? And over and over again, it wasn't. So, at this, at that point, on February 13th of 2008, you know, something clicked finally in my stupid-ass head. And I said, I think I had enough. I think I'm done. I think I'm a drug addict. And that no matter what I do, and no matter where I live, and no matter who I'm with, what friends I have, what job I work, how much money I have, like, it's not, the script is not going to be any different when I start getting high. It's going to be the same shit, you know. And on a long enough timeline, I'm going to wind up locked up or dead. I mean, it's really that simple. And so that was a Wednesday, and then on a Thursday, that the next day, February 14th, my clean date, I went to a meeting and got honest, picked up like my 200th white key tag, and started doing this thing and started putting my heart in it. And it changed everything. Changed everything. I said I was so... I can't even really recall, like, the feeling anymore with the real intensity that I once had of, like, how hopeless I was. It's like a memory of what the feeling was like. Like, I can't remember the actual feeling anymore, but it was pretty terrible. You know, I just remember that utter hopelessness I had for years of just being like, I'm a junkie, you know. I live a junkie, die a junkie. This is what I am. This is what I'm always going to be. And I'm just kind of biding my time until, you know, I do that last one and wind up dead. So it was cool. I had that moment of surrender. I came back in the rooms, and I felt hope for the first time in a long time. And I started doing what people said. Doing what people have been telling me to do for like 5 years, but that I was too stubborn to do, you know, because I had to do it my own way. And it changed everything. It really, really did. They told me to go to a meeting every day, so I went to a meeting every day. They told me to call my sponsor every day, I called my sponsor every day. They told me to stay away from females for a while, I stayed away from females for a while. You know, they told me avoid people, places, and things. I avoided them. my boys over there, they're, what's the word for it? We used to throw around this term in early recovery, like every day, and we say minimize the risk. Minimize the risk, minimize the risk, minimize the risk. You know, because I was, by the time I reached that point where I was actually ready to do this thing and to try and recover, I was scared shitless because I failed so many times. So I was really into safeguarding my recovery. And that was pretty much how we did it. It was like, I'm not going to take unnecessary risks. It's hard enough to stay clean just in and of itself. And so pretty much when a situation would come up, I'd ask myself the question, like, is there any possibility this is going to jeopardize my recovery? And if the answer was yes, then I didn't do it. You know? And again, that was part of the suggestions that people gave me of safeguarding my recovery. And, it's something miraculous happened. You know, I did those, like, simple things, and I stayed clean. You know, and even after, there'd been so many times when I had, like, I'd get a little bit of time. I'd get 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you know, I'd go through treatment, or I went through, like, a halfway house. And I'd get a little bit of time, or 6 months, something like that, and then fall on my face. And I did that so many times to where I was, like, programmed to think that, you know, that I was like, well, you're doing good now, but, you know, just... your days are probably numbered. Like, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to go back to using because that's what Dave always does. You know? So it was like, it was scary. But that was part of the miracle, was that I did those things that people suggested that I do. And, you know, a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in, 6 months in, I'd stop and I'd be like, oh, wow, man, I haven't used, you know? It's like, it's amazing. And I know, I remember going through some situations in early recovery where I would come real close, like, to using, you know, wind up in somebody's house where they got, like, medication or something like that, and be face-to-face with it. And that was another one of those big moments where I saw, like, the magic in this thing, because I was programmed, like, I never said no in those kinds of situations. Like, if I wound up somewhere and there was somebody's pills sitting there, like, I was going to take them. You know, that's what I did, a drug addict. And I was so programmed, like, to think that way that I felt powerless over it. I felt like it almost wasn't even a choice. And I started doing the recovery thing, and I wound up in those situations, and they scared the hell out of me, but I got through them without using. You know, I didn't pick that bottle up off the table. I ran out, you know, practically screaming or whatever, and called my sponsor. But I didn't use, you know. And that to me was nothing short of a miracle, because that's what I did, you know. It's like they say, it's an unnatural state for a drug addict to not be using drugs, right? It really is. And, so yeah, I did what was suggested. I started getting better. I stayed clean. I could go on and on about where recovery's brought me today, like a few years later. Life beyond your wildest dreams, which is what they told me in the beginning. And I didn't believe it, but, you know, nothing could be more true with the blessings that I've gotten. But I've gotten, like, you know, relative to talking about who is an addict and whatnot, like, I've had a lot of reminders lately that it's important for me to remember where I came from, you know, because I've gotten, being clean for a little bit, I'm not in that, like, scary, crazy, early recovery phase anymore. Like, I made it through that, and I got through to the other side, you know? And my life is, like, amazing today, and I've gotten all kinds of things just from doing this, like, you know, from building my life back up from the ground up. But that's, like, the danger to me, in my experience of, like, kind of being at this point in my recovery, is that I can forget. It's actually pretty easy for me to forget sometimes what it was like, because I don't really remember. Like, I don't, for one thing, you know, back when I was doing drugs, so, like, my memory is not real, real clear on some of those periods, and it's been long enough that I'm just kind of removed from it. You know, I don't, like I said, when I think back to the hopelessness, the desperation, any of those terrible things, like, I can remember it, but I don't, like, I can't even feel, like, the intensity of it, like, what it was at the time. And, you know, my life is so good today that, you know, it's like, I can kind of forget, you know, what it was, like, what brought me here. And, man, that's, like, the most dangerous thing that, that an addict can do, I think, is to forget. And I've had quite a few 12-step opportunities lately, and I don't know if that's maybe my higher power just trying to bring me back, like, to remind me of these things so that I don't forget, you know. But, man, that's it's certainly an effective way to make me remember, like, that I am a drug addict. And to remember what it's like is to see it up close. Somebody who's in that place now that I was in just a few years ago. And it's kind of like, you know, being slapped in the face with the reality of this thing, you know. it's hard to see, but I need to see like the ugly side of addiction sometimes. I need to remember. You know, I seen a couple of people lately just either still wrapped up in addiction or relapse and then going back and just bulldozing the hell out of their life, you know, and just like I did many, many times. And, you know, that's waiting for me. You know, I don't have to live in fear today. I don't believe in that at all. You know, like I believe in the freedom that comes from this program and from committing myself to it. But, you know, I got to remember. And I think there's such a thing as that healthy fear of just always knowing that I'm one poor decision away, you know. That's why the newcomer and I are the same, right, as they say, because we're both one away from that insanity, you know. And all of these things that I've built up in my life thanks to recovery, you know, if I turn my back on this thing and I forget where I came from and pick up again, it's all going to go away. You know? And God only knows what might be waiting out there for me. So I definitely like it on this side of the fence. I think that's where I'm going to stay just for today. I think that's all I have.
I'm going to introduce our second speaker, is Rich M. from the New Way of Life group of NA in the Walnut area of NA.
Hi, everybody. Name's Rich. I'm an addict. I was asked to come up here and speak on this topic. I know that when I pick up the basic text, it's the very first chapter in the book. I know what it says in there. I needed to identify with it before I could even get into the part about being an addict. I know that much. It talks about most of us who come to NA don't have to ask this question. It says we know. But I'm going to talk about like pre-NA with me, like I didn't know. I didn't know I was one. It says in the third edition revised basic text about the miscommunications and the misconceptions of what an addict was, and it follows along what I was always thought an addict was, and that's violence, street crime, and dirty needles. That pretty much summed it up for me. That's what I thought an addict was. I didn't fit that category, I know that much. So I really didn't believe that I was an addict. Every time that I ended up in a predicament, which was usually a jail, I never attributed it to drugs. And it says in the basic text that there came a time when I asked myself, could this be because of the drugs? I remember the last time I was sitting in jail asking myself that. Could it be, for the 15th time that I'm sitting in jail, could it be because of the drugs? And, I tell you, I had every excuse to not say that I was an addict because of my belief of dirty needles, you know, bums living under the bridge. Even though I did that, I still didn't think that I still didn't believe that about me because, that was just circumstantial. Things will get better down the road, because I always had high hopes, man. I know it talks in there also, it describes us, we lose the ability to live life on life's terms. I thought I was living them on that terms. Like, I thought that's what I chose to do. But our basic text says we don't choose to do that. It ain't like I woke up one day and said, I think I'll be an addict. I think I'll go down that road. And so I don't know. I had all these crazy things thinking about, and I really didn't want any help because I thought I don't know if it was my age or whatever at that time. But I just thought that it was like, well, I'll probably quit using. And I heard dude say something about it. When this happens, I get this nice girl. I won't want, you know what I mean? I'll shut it down maybe when I turn 20. The book described me as when I wanted to set it down, I couldn't. You know, they say very simply, and, you know, like with fitting with the theme of being up here, with simplicity is the key. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. Our basic text says that in one way or another, our life was controlled by the use of drugs. What happened to me is I stopped feeling good from drugs. Drugs stopped working for me. I no longer felt good when I got high. That's basically what happened to me. It took a lot of, like, my path was probably the same as a lot of people. My story's a little bit different. But the ends are, you know, it says in Who's an Addict, the ends are always the same, jails, institutions. And our third edition, Revised, talks about dereliction. They throw that name in there, too, and death. Now, when I read that chapter, like, I could tell you, when I was communicating with another addict or somebody who's saying I might be an addict, I could tell you one thing and feel a different thing. When I was reading in the book, I was able to really slow down enough in my mind to think, like, some of this stuff sounds like me. It talks about our third edition Revised, talks about living life at the like animals. And when I really thought about it, like, I remember when I was in the penitentiary, and I got a reminder of that today about being in the penitentiary when a dude, and I don't break no one's anonymity or anything, but a dude showed up here that I was actually in the penitentiary with. So I know that that's part of my using, is showing up in the penitentiary. That's, like, that's where it gets me. And it talks about that in the text about jails, institutions, and death. The ends are always the same. And it was for me probably 15 times over, and I still had trouble believing that I was an addict. In 1997 was the first time that I looked at could it be the drugs, that one sentence that's in the basic text. I thought about why I was sitting in jail with 15 detainers, most of them drug-related, forgery this, forgery that, forgery this. And it all had to do with what our book describes as finding and getting and finding ways and means to get more. That was the nature of me. Like, my whole life was centered around it. I mean, like, I thought about it all the time. And I was fear-driven the whole time because I was always afraid of running out. Like, I just had that fear, like, what am I going to do? Worst thing that can happen to an addict is to run out of drugs and run out of money at the same time. That's a dilemma. My sponsor made me look that word up. I don't know what step is involved with dilemma, but I was sure in a few dilemmas and couldn't even see that I was in a dilemma. So, I mean, when that book, being the first chapter in the basic text, had to do a lot with me, was just admitting that, like, kind of sounds like me a little bit there. You know what I mean? Just the identification that maybe I might be an addict. And one of the greatest things that happened to me is when I showed up in Narcotics Anonymous. There's guys here right now who, when I showed up probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, because I was made to come to Narcotics Anonymous and get a slip sign and stuff, didn't believe I was an addict. It talks about in our basic text about whenever addiction is treated as a crime, we become rebellious. That was me. Like, I hated them people that told me, might be an addict, we got to send you to jail because that's what we do with addicts. Like, that's where they go. Like, we don't know what else to do with addicts. They ship them to jail. And I know that I was an example, a judge's example. I remember one time I was in front of a judge and I tried to plead the, I'm an addict, Your Honor, you don't understand. take it easy on me, like, send me somewhere. So I told him I was addicted to a certain pill, because the arrest that I just had was for that pill, for writing phony prescriptions for that pill. So I was trying to plead with the judge on, I said, yeah, I'm, you know, they say, you got anything to say? And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I got a story for you. Story of my life, always trying to weasel my way out of stuff. But anyhow, I told the judge, well, I'm addicted to this drug. And he said, I'm quoting you, I'm not even kidding you, this judge told me, he said, you can't be addicted to that drug. My grandmother takes that. That's what he told me. So I didn't even know what to say after that. I mean, he stumped me on that one. So nonetheless, you know, I was sent to prison on that. And I tell you, it wasn't until I came actually in the room, picked the book up, started reading the book, identifying with the book before I identified it with you guys, I identified with the book first. That's where I picked up that I might have a small little situation in my life which might require a little bit of work. And I was always looking for the easiest, softest way around this. I figured once I was out of trouble, once everything was cleared up, maybe the probation ended, I wouldn't have to be with you guys anymore. I'd be good, you know what I mean? But I've tried that in the past. Like, that story's already been told. It says in our basic text about us not living in reality. Like, the true stuff that was actually happening to me, I wasn't believing. It was always for this, well, the cops say they don't like me down there, so I know I did something wrong there, but they don't like me, so they see me, and that's, you know, they're going to get me. And it was always somebody else's fault. Somebody else, you know what I mean? I was always blaming something else. Well, you know, you do that. My mother was murdered in 1981, and I used that as an excuse, like, you won't believe. I mean, that was my excuse. Like, no one else has that situation. I'm the only person in the whole world that has that. And, boy, I'll tell you, when I got to NA, that quickly got squashed. That excuse that I used. I love what it says about, we all show up here with varying degrees of sickness. You know what I mean? And some of our paths are different than other people. But we're all working for the same goal. Like, I could identify with that stuff. Like, after I was here for a minute or two, I could see that I met some people whose stories were worse than mine. Yeah, with my mother getting murdered. It's just completely outrageous stories. And these guys, all they were trying to do was get a day clean. That's what I'm doing here today. I love what it says in there about just the admission that I'm an addict is enough to start you on the path of recovery. All step one stuff. They put the chapter right in the beginning of the book for me because I'm dense. You know what I mean? I mean, I need to see it right away. I mean, I need to see the proof right away before I get to chapter 9 or, you know, chapter 10 before I start realizing what, you know, maybe I fit in this fellowship. But it took, like I heard dude say earlier, it was a process, man. Like, I just didn't show up here and got clean and believed everything that I read in the book and stuff like that. And I'm, you know, I don't consider myself different from anybody else. Some people come and they get it on the first crack, and some people show up here for the 20th time, and I might be along that line, you know, the 20th time or maybe even more or a little less, but whatever. Like, that was just what I needed to go through. Like, I'm grateful today that I was in the penitentiary. Believe it or not, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I wouldn't have the cumulative experience of all that crap so that I could find my way, basically. Like, I don't even question any of the path that I took to come to the conclusion that I'm an addict. My life is controlled by drugs whenever I use. It was very evident to me. And step one, when my sponsor said, let's take a look at step one. Like, what the hell's unmanageable? What are you powerless over? And stuff like that. And I didn't really come here to give you, you know, any talks on step one, but I know it fits into who's an addict that, with the admission. Because I'll tell you, man, like, my journey was rough, and I got a lot of answers to a lot of questions by just admitting that I was an addict. I really did. I knew why I was in the penitentiary. I knew why I was in jail. I knew why I was afraid of people. It talks about that in the very first chapter about we become resentful of everybody. Like, we don't hang around with people. I hated the people that I got dope from, but I didn't act like it. When I was there getting it, like, they were like, "Oh, dude, me and you all the way. Like, I'll never throw you under the bus. I'll never sell you out. You know what I mean? I'll never snitch on you." And you know what? All that stuff was a lie, because I had done that in the past to get my ass out of jail. I snitched on people. I did. I'm like, "Yeah, I know, dude. He does do that." But yet I tell you in jail or on the street, "Holmes, I would never do that to you. Me and you've been tight for 20 days. Like, why would I do that?" Right? So it's just crazy. And that's stuff that I believed. Like, I believed in that street mentality, but I didn't. I told you that I believed in it, but I didn't live it. Like, I broke the rules every day when it benefited me. So, you know, like, when I come to NA and they said, "I don't know what rules you're living by, but them ain't the rules in life." Right? So my reality was distorted, man. Like, my reality was not good at all. I would not survive long if I would have kept going with that reality. Well, maybe I would have, but it would have been a living nightmare, and it was when I was out there using. But the best thing I ever did for myself was to admit that I was an addict. You know what I mean? I love what it says also in Who's an Addict. It's not about the drug that I use, because I used to always think that, okay, I did too many second-alls, maybe I'll just do two-and-alls now. The second-alls are too strong. Maybe I'll go to Valiums. You know what I mean? But you know what? The ends are always the same, no matter what. Whether it was weed, booze, pills, I always got the same stuff. I always got the same answer from it. I'd run around and I thought I was doing good. You know, my perception of reality was off a little bit. So there was a couple times that I was able to stop for 10 or 15 minutes. Like, I wanted to get high, but I didn't, because I'm going to go see the probation department. And I figured, that's pretty good. Like, usually I just, when I want to do them, I do them. But I ain't going to do it for 15 minutes because I got to go see the man. I don't want to be too high when I go. And I thought that was, like, that didn't classify me as an addict. Because an addict was like, "You're just out of control, dude." Like, I've seen little bits of control. It wasn't much, but I've seen little bits of control that said, "I don't fit that." You know what I mean? Like, I just kept trying everything to get my way out of admitting that I was an addict. And it wasn't, I told you, it wasn't until I sat down and read the book. My sponsor made me read it. It was not a voluntary read. Because my sponsor, at that time, my sponsor, like, I thought I was going to get a quiz or something, you know, like, I better read it, and I better know what the hell I'm going to say when he asked me, you know what I mean? So I thought it was like a little quiz there, and I didn't understand, that's all. I just didn't understand that it was for me, it wasn't for him. Like, I didn't understand that kind of stuff. Like, I'm like, what can I do for you so that you'll give me what I want? You know, I had, that's the mentality, the thinking that I had. As an addict, as a clean addict, oh, no, 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 no. See, it's a complete opposite of that. Today, I think about, well, what can I do for you, and what sacrifice am I going to be making for you? And it has been, since I've been in recovery, it has been about giving up a lot of what I want to do, and what can I do for you? And that's the truth, man. Like, anybody that knows me knows that, you know, like, I'll go out of my way to help. That's what dudes did for me. That's what people did for me when I came. I showed up here, and I can remember going the first couple meetings, and they were going down to the restaurant after the meeting. I got honest and said, I'd love to go, but I ain't, you know, like, my greenbacks are low right now. Like, they was so low that I, you know, like, our soda wasn't, you know, and these guys were like, Richie, don't worry about it, right? And then once this guy that I asked to be my sponsor, he did it like 5 or 6 times. I'm thinking, dude, like, when I get it together, I'll hook you. And he told me, and this still sticks to me today, and this is one of the things that I live by, he said, no, you don't have to hook me. Like, you don't have to give that back to me. I want you to do that for somebody else that shows up like you, that doesn't have any money. See, that's when I started to understand what Narcotics Anonymous was all about. See, at first it was about me. It was about me and using the drugs. It wasn't about, like, anything else. And that was it. But you know what? That was enough for me to get an understanding. Because that's where, as a beginner, I needed to understand it. It is about me and it is about drugs. Like, I ain't here from selling ice cream. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's a problem. If I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, it has something to do with narcotics. So, but that shit's hard to figure out as a newcomer. It really is. It's hard to get to the truth, the naked truth, and say, man, dereliction? Read that word up in the dictionary. Try to call yourself one of those when you don't believe. When you don't believe that. Like, that's too harsh of a word. Like, that doesn't fit me. That's a little outrageous. And you know what? That fit me to a T. I tried them shoes on. They fit perfectly. I was like, damn, man. So the truth is what caught up to my ass. That's what got me was the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. I didn't have to wonder after sitting there for 14 days in the county jail with all those detainers. I knew why I was there. I had tried to get clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I had learned a few things, and the truth was very visible whenever I shut my eyes at night. And I wasn't talking to somebody and trying to be Mr. Slick Eddie or anything like that. When I was with myself, and my cell door was closed, and my head was on the pillow, and there was silence in the cell, I knew. It was about the way I was living, right? And the way I was living was because I was obsessed with using drugs, right? That was the nature of my problem right there. Now, what the hell am I going to do about it? A dude threw a Living the Program pamphlet off me when I was in, and I looked at that thing and started answering those questions. You know, that just for today, that Living the Program, I answered those things. I was honest with me. I might not be honest with you, but I was honest with me. And I looked at it, and you know what? I started to think, you know what? I am an addict, and I don't want to live like that no more. And that's when I started asking, you know, another one of her chapters, what can I do? What do I got to do now? You know what I mean? What do you want me to do? Like, and I hear people say, yeah, I'll do this and I'll do that. Well, I wasn't quite there with that. You know what I mean? But I was willing to do something, which was better than what the hell I was doing when I was using, because I wasn't willing to be flexible at all. So I don't know. I just thought about that kind of stuff today when I was thinking about who's an addict. I am. I don't know about anybody else sitting here. Most of the people that I know in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, when I hear their lead, I'm thinking, yeah, dude, you shored up here. But you know what? That was up to me. Like, I'm glad you guys didn't tell me when I came here. Richie, you write prescriptions? You're an addict. Glad you didn't tell me that. You might have spooked me. I might not have came back. I don't know. That was up for me to figure out. Like, that's mine. I figure that out, then I can start doing something about it. And I don't have to do it for your eyes. I got to do it for my eyes, for when I go to sleep at night. Am I going to sleep at night? I don't know. I'd like to thank these guys for asking me to come out and speak tonight. I guess they heard me speak somewhere else, and they're like, they grabbed me about a month ago and said, who's an addict? I'm thinking, that. What? Give me something like great. You know, like, give a lead. And I'm thinking, who's an addict? Christ, very simply, I could be up here in a minute and go back and sit down. Very simply. But, you know, I had to tell the story of what I thought about it before I got shored up and found out that I was an addict and that I'm proud to be a Narcotics Anonymous member. It works for me. It did wonders for me. I'm not on the path that I'd like to be on, but I'm telling you, I'm not on the path that I was when I got here. That's for sure. And if I tell you I'm coming to scoop you up and take you to a meeting, that's the truth. That's what will happen. And that's because I admitted that I was an addict. Period. So thanks.